Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We're going to talk about the vision for 2018. This is going to be a little different message in that usually I'm very Scripture-oriented. We break apart Scripture. We find out what it says. We find out what it applies. Today, we are going to look at what the Scripture says, but we're going to look at what God has done for victory and the direction God would have us going in 2018. Can we do that this morning? All right, do me a favor. I need you to do something for me. First of all, I need you to smile at me. All right? Smiling is good. I need to see smiles this morning. I have a personal need for that. All right? Second thing, let's stand and let's look into the Word of God. We're going to read one verse, Proverbs 29, verse 18. I'm reading from the King James Version today. I usually use the New King James, but today we're using the King James. And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you today. We need your instruction. We need your guidance. We need your direction for all that we do. For Lord, we are but your servants awaiting your direction. So I pray, Lord, that you would instill in us a zeal and a desire for your work. That you would instill in us a drive that cannot be quenched by the fiery darts of Satan. That, Lord, you will revive our hearts and set this church afire, that we may serve you more boldly than ever before, winning the lost to you. Lord, we pray that you will work in this message. We love you and we thank you for all things, but we thank you most of all for Jesus, the sacrifice for our sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first question that comes to my mind, we are at victory. We're kind of on that edge. And we're on the edge of completing a building program. We're on the edge of tremendous growth. We're on the edge of great things. And so the first question that comes to my mind is, are we there yet? Are we where we want to be? Have we attained that place where we look around and say, yeah, this is where God wants me to be. We've made it. No, we have not made it. As a matter of fact, we've only begun. We're just barely started, quite honestly. Solomon writes here, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision means divine communication. And we speak of people who have heard from God and know that they are doing what God has called them to do. And Solomon says, without that kind of guidance, the people perish. That word perish means to let oneself go. Have you ever saw someone who let themselves go? Where you look at them and you know, maybe you hadn't seen, you graduated with them and you look at them and it's 25, 30 years later and you say, my goodness, you've let yourself go. That's kind of the idea here. When you have no vision, you let yourself go. When there's no vision in the church, you let the church go. Things go unattended. Things go, excuse me, things go undealt with. And probably most importantly, the ministries to which God has called people go unfulfilled. Because after all, we've made it, right? No. No. You know when we can say we've made it? When we enter through the portals of glory into heaven, that eternal home. Then we can lean back and say, yes, Jesus, we made it. This is where we've been going our whole lives. But until that time, beloved, there is work to do. And the first thing I want us to do is I want us to look at what God has done over the last year. If you don't know where you've been, you certainly will not know where you're going. Right? Just makes sense. And so God About a year ago, or year and a half ago, 2 years ago maybe, we started talking about a building ministry. And the reason we started talking about that is because we needed space. Some of our Sunday school classes were overflowing. As a matter of fact, we had classes in which people would walk into and would walk out because there was no place to sit. Not a good thing. So we began to discuss among one another and began to pray about a building ministry. And we come up with the idea. The answer would be to take out one third of our facilities to resolve this problem. Makes sense, right? You need more room, you take out the room you got. Well, that's what we did, and that's where God led us, of course. But I point that out because people have been very gracious. To grow, we had to first take a step back. And honestly, I've heard no complaints. I've just heard people, the positive, encouraging comments through the building ministry, through the whole building program. And so as we began to pursue this, God laid it upon my heart that we should set a church goal of $500,000 by, and I've forgotten the date, somewhere around the 1st of May or something like that of last year. And God gave us about 6 months, 8 months. And I thought, and when God gave me that, I said, Lord, I know you're God, but that's a little much, don't you think? I mean, after all, we're not that big of a church. And God said, $500,000. Well, Lord, if I put that in front of the people and we don't make that goal, they are going to think I have lost my mind. God said, $500,000. So I said, okay, Lord. Okay. And so I presented it to you. And you smiled at me. But in the back of your mind, you were thinking that preacher has lost his mind. Weren't you? Weren't you? I mean, let's be honest, because I kind of thought I had, you know. But the amazing thing, in a matter of 6, 7, 8 months, we reached that $500,000 goal. And the reason we reached that $500,000 goal was not us. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't even you. It was God enabled God's people to give. He put it in their hands, in your hands to give, and you had a mind to give it to the Lord. And for that, I'm encouraged. I just think, wow, Lord. I'm not going to question you again. You know, that's the first thought. I'm not going to question you again, but I probably will. I'm human. The wonderful thing about it was we reached that $500,000 goal because of Almighty God. And today, you know, a few months later, 6 months later, it's in the bulletin, I think, we're at $710,000 in that giving. Again. I say, wow, Lord. That's all that's all you can say is just, Lord, you have done great things. And I want you to understand, okay? I commend God's people for their generosity and their faithfulness in giving, but you couldn't have given if God didn't first give it to you. God has done mighty things in this ministry. And so we back up now. We're approximately 2 to 3 weeks out from moving into that facility. And February the 4th is going to be the big day. We may actually get in there a week or so before that. But February 4th is going to be the big day. The day that we push. This is the day we're going to be in those new classes. Isn't that exciting? Amen. We're going to be in the new facilities, Lord willing. And I understand it's all in the hands of God. But we're moving into that new facility where there will be new classrooms. Two of those classrooms can now house 50 plus. Amen. Amen. Come on. Another one of those classrooms, the youth room, about 75, 100, if we needed to. We have a new nursery, a new infant nursery, a new toddler nursery, a new preschool classroom, a place for a new special needs ministry, new church offices. And I understand this has been an outstanding big step for Victory Baptist Church, but I stand in awe of the mighty hand of God who's put us here. It is God. But we're not there yet. We've had additions in the last year, which is pretty awesome. As a matter of fact, we've had 43 additions to the church last year. Membership now stands at 567, which is great. That's 567 souls that God has placed within our care. We're responsible for their spiritual growth and their spiritual well-being. That's pretty good. 567 members? Are we there yet? No. The work's just begun. You see, we've got to help them to grow spiritually. Well, Brother Doug, aren't they doing pretty well? Well, let me ask you, 567 members, look around. Give me an estimate on how many you think are here today. We're slipping. We're slipping. And you know what? Just in case you're new to Victory, we do expect you to come to church. If you're a member, and I know this is the seeker age, okay, but it's okay. We want you to seek yourself on over to Victory, if you're a member at Victory, and come to church. Now, I understand, sometimes we take vacation, sometimes we're out of town, and that's all well. But if you're in Russellville, you should be in the Lord's house, short of being sick at home in the bed. Okay? We have the right of that expectation, just like you have the right to have expectations of Victory. We've got a ways to go yet. But boy, God has been great in where He's brought us. Now I want you to consider what God desires to do. Number one, what God desires to do in Victory. And I want you to understand, I didn't just throw this together. And if I'm trying to keep this to a timely message, but for the last 2 weeks, I've had figures and thoughts running through my head in every direction. Okay? And as such, I'm more excited than I've ever been. But I'm also more driven than I've been probably since I've been the pastor of Victory. Number one, God wants us to make disciples. You understand? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Make disciples. The best tool we have for disciples is Sunday morning Bible study. Now this is, you see, this is Vision Casting Sunday. I don't want to hear three amens. I want to hear 350 amens, okay? All right? Here we go. The best disciple-making tool that we have is Sunday morning Bible study.
Amen. Amen.
It is. February 4th is the big day. We should be in our new classroom. I ask every member of Victory, and you spread this around, call those, when you get home today, those who did not attend today, call them up and say, you need to listen to that preacher. He's lost his mind again. But I'm asking every member of Victory to make a Bible study, Sunday morning Bible study commitment. And that commitment is 8 weeks beginning February the 4th, 8 weeks of faithful Sunday morning Bible study attendance. I get it. You see, there's some that have had a bad taste in their mouth about Sunday morning Bible study because in their past life, somewhere else, they sat in some class while some person read this quarterly book to them and they were bored out of their gourd. We don't do that.
Amen.
Okay? Our goal in Bible study is to teach you the skills that you need to live for God Monday through Saturday.
Amen.
Okay? And I realize, and you haven't heard me for 5 years, you haven't heard me push our Sunday morning Bible study very much because we didn't have a place to put them. Guess what? February 4th, we're going to have a place to put folks. I'm excited. We can now disciple people in the Word of God. So put aside your, I don't think I like that, or I didn't like it years ago. Put all that aside and realize God has set victory here. He's given you an opportunity to grow. You should be in Bible study class. You should. I want to our adult Bible study teachers, would you stand? Okay. Our adult Bible study teachers, they're scattered. These guys want you to grow. Keep standing. And they're going to put in hours of study every week so that you can grow. So that you can sit in their class. And listen, if you don't like one, there's five more standing in line waiting on you. But their desire is to see you grow. That's it. Okay? If you try these classes. If you don't want to go to Brother Michael's and you don't like Brother Michael's, back on up to Brother Mike Goodson. If you don't like Brother Mike Goodson, back on up to Tony Moore. Everybody likes Tony Moore. Miss Becky's just... That's kind of the response I get, Brother Tony. We're in the same boat, okay? You see what I'm saying? There's a place for you at Victory. Get the vision. Don't be satisfied where you are. You can sit down. Get the vision. Don't be okay with business as usual. Well, Brother Doug, you don't really have a Sunday school class for my age group. Guess what? Yes, we do. We're starting two new Sunday school classes. Right? We're going to have a 20-something class. Brother Lance Fetter, he's going to be their teacher. He's up in the balcony. You want to see him come, don't you? Amen. So a lot of, and I understand you've got to be with your people, your age group. You've got to fit in. Well, we've had a problem. We've wanted to start that class for the last 2 years. And we can't. But now we can. So no more excuses. God has put you here. God has put Victory where it is. You be faithful in growing and becoming a disciple. Okay? We're going to start a special needs class in the first of the year. Or 1st of February. This special needs class, there are people in the city of Russellville who cannot come to worship service. The reason they can't is because their children have special needs that require special care and they can't just leave them anywhere. And so God has put us in a position to answer that call. Okay? And so there's going to be opportunities of service. Sister Carolyn Cantwell's leading out in that ministry. I think she's got 10, 15 volunteers to help that ministry. But you need to be praying for that ministry. And I want to ask the Sunday school teachers today. I had you standing a while ago. I want to ask you to do a favor. Do something for me. And that is that we change our focus just a little bit. If all we're doing is meeting for Bible study on Sunday morning, we're missing the point. What I mean is, it's wonderful to learn about the Word of God. Listen, for somebody like me, one of the high points of my day, of my week, of my month, of my year, is when I learn something I didn't know in the Word of God. I mean, it just, But the bottom line is, we've got to get it out of the church and into the streets. Okay? We've got to, if all we're doing is learning on Sunday, and then we don't do anything else until next Sunday, what good are we? So I'm asking our classes to adopt a mission outside the class. With this thought in mind, how is the city of Russellville better because you have a Bible study class? What can you do in the city of Russellville that will change lives outside of these walls? Okay? Throw that, and I'm throwing out that out to the teachers, and I'm asking them to ask the participants, the members of their class, you ask. Ask them what they want to do. Do they want to feed at the Main Street Mission and share the gospel there? Do they want to help with Choices Pregnancy Center? Is there something? We've all got all these neat ideas. Let's put them into practice. Isn't that exciting? Oh, come on. Isn't that exciting? We're going to get it out of the walls of Victory. Get the vision. We want everybody in Russellville to know who Victory Baptist Church is. And not just because we have a building over here by IHOP. We want them to know who Victory is because they see the God that we serve. Okay? Second thing we're going to do. Another thing we're going to do this year. We're going to mobilize our men. Our men need to be mobilized. Ladies, y'all just blew it. Our men need to be mobilized.
Amen.
You're still blowing it. Bless your hearts. I wasn't even going to preach about this. Y'all need to get excited. Okay? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Yesterday, we had our first men's brotherhood meeting. Somewhere between 55 and 60, it was outstanding. Okay? If you were there, great. If you weren't, plan on meeting next month. We're going to meet on a Saturday in February, the first part of February. You'll see the details in the bulletins. But the idea behind this is, number one, men need to get back to serving. Number two, the church needs the men to serve. Okay? You see, it's too easy not to when you don't know what to do. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to adopt this servant mentality, and somebody else's job is going to become our job. And we're going to start using our talents and our gifts for the glory of God. There's going to be a lot of things to do. We're going to have to move into the new facilities. We're going to have to fix the outside and do some gardening and landscaping outside. There's always going to be things around here that need fixed. And there's always going to be opportunities for these men to serve. But there's going to be opportunities for us to mentor one another in that group. Meaning, the young Christians need to see what godly men look like. Okay? You say, Brother Doug, I'm too old for that group. No, you're not. Okay? I can't move stuff. I can't do landscape. That's okay. Can you set a godly example for somebody to see? Can you offer them godly counsel? Can you be a friend? That's the whole idea of this men's brotherhood. Listen, we want to mobilize our men better than we've ever done before. Third, we want to be mission-minded in 2018. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. We've got a mission. And the mission is not to come to worship on Sunday, even though that's part of it. The mission is to get the gospel to the world. Okay? This year, our mission committee is sponsoring a program called the Como Shuttle. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Oh, let's try it again. The Como Shuttle, Ben's going to listen to this, okay? The Como Shuttle sounds fun. Amen?
Amen.
I know you're saying, I don't say amen until I know exactly what you're talking about, Brother Doug. We have a missionary in Columbia, Missouri. His name is Ben Hightower. Good man, doing a good work. They have 20, 25 in attendance. He's been there 4 years. And he needs our encouragement on a regular basis. Because I want to tell you something. Columbia, Missouri is way different than Russellville, Arkansas.
Amen.
Most of those people don't know God and don't really care. Okay? But Ben's doing a good work. So what we want to do is we want to send a shuttle, our church van, up to Columbia, Missouri once a quarter. And we're going to ask you to go. All right? Our church members to go. Probably go out on a Saturday, maybe a Friday afternoon. But the details will be in the bulletin. And we want you to get on that van. The mission committee is going to pay the hotel bill. And the van expense, the gas and everything up there. So basically, probably the only thing you have to pay is some eats. All right? And you go up there with the idea of, I want to bless myself a missionary. And I want to tell you what's going to happen when you do that. You're going to go up there and you're going to say, oh, Brother Ben, what can we do for you? And he'll tell you something and you'll do it. And you'll get on the bus after you've been up there a little while. You get back on the van headed home and you'll think, boy, that meant way more to me than it did him. That's what mission work does. Yeah? And you come back all excited about Columbia, Missouri, and then everybody else will be looking at you. What's your problem? And you can tell them, go on the shuttle and find out. Yeah? We want to be mission active. All right? So every quarter there will be an opportunity for you to take a mission trip. It's not going to be a hard one. It's not going to be a big deal. It'll last for 2 days or so, and you'll be back Sunday afternoon. All right? But go. Bless our missionary. Second thing we're working on is a mission trip to Romania. Okay, that's a big deal. But it's exciting, right? Construction trip to Romania to build in one of our mission works there to help in building projects. And Brother Michael's getting that together. Okay? We're looking at somewhere around midsummer. You want to go to Romania and work? Talk to Brother Michael. These are opportunities for us to get out of our own little world. You see, one of our greatest blessings is our own little world, and one of our greatest curses is our own little world. We get real comfortable there, and we don't do anything else anywhere else, you know? But we're commanded to be a witness to everywhere. That's Russellville, that's Columbia, Missouri, that's Romania. Folks, I truly do. I want you to catch a vision for victory. To see that God has set us here to be so much more than pew setters. There's so much more opportunity that it's easy to overlook and say, ah, that's somebody else's job. Well, somebody else's job needs to become your job and my job. Then finally, we're going to talk about ministry management. You see, this year, there will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 to 20 Bible study classrooms. There are somewhere around 25 or so ministries / committees. There are 4 full-time ministers in this facility, in this work. There's a lot going on. And I have, you know, I have just talked about the new stuff. I have talked about Awana and women's ministries and all this other stuff that's ongoing, that's going to continue to go. Okay? But what I've discovered is this. We at Victory, we've got to take the next step. Okay? And part of that next step is the management at Victory. In Acts chapter 6, verse 2, it says, the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Here's what happens. Okay. My passion, my desire, my God-given ministry is the ministry of the Word. Okay? That's what God has placed me at Victory for. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to do other things along the way. I'm not, okay? But what I have discovered and what I know is that I can't minister in the Word and feed the sheep and be directly involved and responsible for every ministry and every program of this church. Okay? So what I'm going to be asking the church here in 2 weeks at our quarterly business meeting, our first quarterly business meeting, is to approve an organization chart that fans out the ministry responsibilities, and it will basically come down to each minister at Victory will have a committee that he sets on and a part of Sunday school that he aids with. And then if that committee needs something, you know, from the staff, that's their contact point. If that Sunday school teacher needs something from the staff, that's their contact point. All right? And then our associate pastors are going to share with me on a weekly basis of what's going on in every committee and every ministry of this church. And when I need to be directly involved, I will. But otherwise, I'm going to let these guys manage. Okay? Now, I tell you that because I don't want you to think, well, Brother Doug's not interested. But I've learned that if I sit on one committee, I've got to sit on all committees. You know? And that doesn't work. And so I'm going to ask you to be patient with us as we set this organization chart and set these responsibilities, and we'll define them in job descriptions, and be patient with us and give us your feedback, and you know, if you have some input, we gladly will receive that input. We are blessed with a wonderful church staff at Victory. I love every one of these guys, and I'm blessed to work with them. And so as you see these guys growing in their ministry, don't back up and say, well, he's trying to run the church. No, he's not. He's not. He's trying to keep things organized and in line so that we can all minister together. Okay? So that it all works. Finally, I want you to get this. Again, I've shared just a few things. We have so many other ministries. Seniors ministries. Teen ministry. College ministry. And I've only covered basically the new things. But what I want you to understand at this point forward is every ministry at Victory is important. Okay? Choir is important. Seniors are important. Teens are important. And it's too important not to do well. Does that make sense? It's too important not to put our all into it. Listen, you may be here and you've been slow in getting involved. Well, yeah, this is one of the goals of this year, that every member a Victory has a ministry. Every member. Yeah? Because God has pushed you here for a reason. And so as you serve, and maybe you've already got a ministry, but if you get a new one or you've got an existing ministry, please understand it's too important not to do it and do it well. Don't let anything come between you and the Lord's work. Okay? Whether it's your faithful attendance in worship, your faithful attendance in Bible study, your faithful execution of what God has called you to do. If you're on a security team, you be the best security member you can possibly be. If you're on a youth committee, you be the best youth sponsor you can possibly be. And if you're in the choir, you be the best choir member you can possibly be. Whatever God has put you here for, you do your very best. because God's work is too important. Nehemiah chapter 6 comes to mind. You remember the story of Nehemiah? How they were building the walls, rebuilding the walls of Jericho, and there were two bad guys, Sanballat and Geshem. And they wanted, they sent word to Nehemiah, come on down, let's talk about this thing. And it says that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages on the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work. I love that. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Here's the deal. If you're on a committee, don't let the work go. If you're supposed to be in church on Sunday morning, and if you're a member at Victory, you are. And somebody says, let's go out and stay out all Saturday night and whatever. You just remember before you go out and stay out all Saturday night that you're expected to be at Victory on Sunday morning. Come on, y'all do better than that. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Doug. Preach on, brother. You just remember, the work that you're doing is way too important. Why do you let anything come between you and the work God has called you to? Don't do it. Nothing. I love it. Well, we had company. Bring them to church. They don't want to come. Then leave them at home. You know? God's work's too important. Get the vision. There's a lot of great things going on at Victory Baptist Church. And I'm excited. I really am. This message has not been intended to rake people over the coals. Not at all. I want you to see my passion. I want you to see my excitement. I want you to see, I see more opportunities than I've seen in the last 7 years that I've been here. It's too important not to do and do right. In closing, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Let's stand and let's read this together. Peter says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. You know what that means in our terms? If you're going to do it well.
Amen.
Do it with all your heart. Do it as though you were doing it for God Himself, because you are. My friends, I love you. And I'm looking forward to serving God with you in 2018. I want to offer one thing, one last thing in closing. And that is, are you a child of God? You want to know what's great about being a child of God? I know what I'm here for. I know what I'm in this, you know. A lot of people, they don't understand. Well, why am I here? Well, you're here because God has a plan for your life. Okay? And He has a different plan for everyone's life. But you can bet He has a plan. But that plan starts with being a child of God. Okay? If you're not saved, and life has no meaning, let me give you the meaning. The meaning is Jesus Christ. You see, when you're saved, when you call upon the Lord, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call upon Jesus, we're told through the Word of God that He moves in. He lives within. And I want to tell you what I found about Jesus living on the inside. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. I'm not. I'm not always around people. But one of the greatest blessings of my life is knowing that wherever I am and whatever is going on around me, that Jesus Christ is living within. Another great benefit of being a child of God is when this life's over, I know where I'm going. There's been a place prepared for me eternal in the heavens. And I know when I close my eyes for the last time on this earth, I'll open in eternity with Jesus Christ my Lord. Listen, you need to know where you're going. You need to know why you're here. If you're not saved, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'd invite you to come. If there's another need in your life, perhaps the Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory, you come. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, you come. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do today, I invite you to respond. Heavenly Father, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you've given us a place of service and an opportunity to serve. It is good to be your servant. Father, Lord, I'm excited, Father, what the new year holds. But one thing I'm sure of, I can't do it. And the people here can't do it of our own abilities. But we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who's our strength. So, Lord, we pray that you will empower us to be faithful. That you will enable us to serve you in new ways and serve you better than we've ever served you before. Lord, move among this church today and throughout this year for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.